This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Age of Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is episode 171 of the Dark Windows podcast. And this week we've actually got a pretty cool special guest for everybody. We are going to sit down here in a little bit and talk to Brian Bowden, who's part of the Bronxville Paranormal Society, also part of the North American Dogman Project. So very...
Yeah,
very interesting kind of jumble of information that hopefully we're gonna be able to have some fun with. So
yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, so next time you hear us, we'll be talking to Brian. All right, so we kind of already did our intro.
Sure.
For our listeners, you want to just kind of let them know who you are and what you're all about?
Not Perfect. A problem. So I'm Brian Bowden, sometimes known as Sir Brian, because I actually am a Knights Templar in real life. I originally was in business, but I've always had this calling for science and some of the strange and unusual. Loved monster movies growing up. I was into UFOs, and I just happen to now been doing it for like 40 plus years, looking at strange things in the world, mysterious objects, things that fill your nightmares and your dreams. And that's where I am right now. Have my own show called Nobobumi, Nobody But Me, which is on Inside the Goblin Universe Network. It's a network we have, which is another show. And I co-host that Inside the Goblin Universe with Ron Murphy. And I just do a lot of investigation, have a couple of investigating groups and part of the Bronxville Paranormal Society. Founder, director, co-director, and co-founder of the New York State UFO Project, New York State Sasquatch Organization, and we do a lot of dogman research, partly with the North American Dogman Project, but we also do it on our own as well.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's one of those topics that hits close to home for me with dogman. Yeah. That's
yeah. I kind of was doing my own little research. And I was just, you know, trying to catch up and listen to a couple of your guys' shows, which are great, by the way. I love them because it's real. It's a real show. It's none of this, don't take it the wrong way, overproduced, too much production, blah, blah, blah. It's what I like to do is real talk with people.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. No, I'm all with you. And you guys are out of the Green Mountain State, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I got to ask. I don't know if it's still there. It's not. I don't know if it was Bennington. I think it was Bennington. Is that just below where the Alpine Slide is at Bromley? Just at the base of that mountain?
No.
Or is that Manchester?
Well, Manchester. Oh, Manchester's okay. Actually, like Bromley's like at the top of the mountain from Manchester, like going east. Right. So it's actually Manchester's on the west side of the state,
right?
From Bromley.
Okay.
And then if you actually go the next two towns down from Manchester is Bennington.
Ah, okay. I've been through your state many, many times. there was like a veterans home off of Route 7. And my dad goes, that's where I want to go. I'm like, okay, dad, whatever. Because we used to hit, I got to be honest, it's a lot of my traveling revolves around good food.
Same here, man.
Yeah. You used to have a place called the Sirloin Saloon, which is, I don't know if it's still in business. Amazing. Nope. Amazing.
The one in Rutland that is the town just south of us is now a Dollar General like everything else in the state.
Yeah. I went to school over by UMass and we used to take trips in, and I was looking to go over to another place, which is probably out of business and now is like an Ace Hardware, Ginelli's. I don't know if that's around anymore either, but I got caught on my Acura Integra up a runaway truck ramp and I had to get a wrecker out there and they're like, what were you doing? And I'm like, doing stupid stuff, sir. How do you explain that?
Yeah.
You never been up one? Let's go. You know?
Yeah, might as well. What the hell?
Yeah, it was fun.
I mean, we've actually it's funny. we have this joke with people from out of state. They no offense to anyone, but it's like if you don't know the road, don't go on it. We have this one road, close to where we live, that like has a sign that says your GPS is wrong, turn around.
Yep. Because so it's people trying to get over to Killington, which is like one of the big ski resorts up in that way, and it's a little dirt road up by the Chittenden Reservoir that turns into like a class 4 road that you can get up if you're careful. You can get up there in a truck, right. But there's a trail that'll actually bring you all the way out and over into Killington. But we ran into a family in a minivan trying to get there in a
oh Lord.
Yeah, and like it was me, myself, Kevin. We're both Kevins, by the way, and my younger brother. We were up at the end of the road, just kind of sighting in rifles for hunting season.
Of course.
And this van comes up through, a family from New York, and they got stuck. And then you have these three like big dudes get out in like camouflage shorts and flannel shirts, and they're like, "What the hell is going on here?" Like their eyes got real big. My younger brother's like, "Oh no, don't worry, I'll help you out." He just backed him down the road, and they offered him money, and he's like, "Nah, don't worry about it."
Yeah, right at that point, the wife was yelling at the husband, "You're an idiot! I told you not to take the damn road."
She was petrified. Oh my god! Oh my god! You know,
that's them. They're city folk. I've been up there. We used to go up there. We used to go to Bromley a lot and go on the Alpine Slide. And, you know, my family used to travel throughout like New England. We have family in Maine. And one of the things we used to do, because my mother was a teacher, she had the summers off. So we weren't rich folk. We were poor folk. We were working class. So she worked at a sleepaway camp up in Northwest Connecticut. And we used to go up all the time into, off of Route 7 up into Vermont. You know, we'll go to New Hampshire. And one of the things we used to do as we got our licenses, which was fun, is we'd play a game called Left Right. You flip a coin, and the first road you get on, you get to left or right, and you make the left or right, and you go. And it was a great way to explore. We've been on some of those don't travel without a four-wheel drive, truck roads ourselves.
Nice. We do that. I mean, what I call that is what my dad refers to it as. I'm going to show you this road, boy, and then I'm not going to show you it again. That's what, that's what it's called for me,
Yep.
But that's how you learn the roads,
Yeah. No, 100%.
And that's actually kind of how the podcast started. It's like Kevin and I used to just cruise around, just shoot the shit, talk about all the weird stuff that we talk about here. And then I wonder what happened if we stuck microphones in our faces. And then here we are.
It was like, later almost. Hey, where's this road lead? Have you been on this road before? Yeah, I have. Take this road, go out this way. Oh, okay. Or both of us. We don't know, but it's sketchy.
Well,
we found a weird one that came out like out into Lake Champlain. It's a one-way, it's like a one car wide road, and then there's these little cutoffs on each side. So if there's a car coming, you can get out of the way.
Yep.
And you get out to the end of it, and there's this huge house that's just fenced off, and there's nothing else there. It's like there's a little bit of like space to turn around and go back out. But that's
a cool, kind of
sketchy, but also super cool. Oh, hell yes. Oh,
yeah. I mean, we found creepier though. We actually I don't know if we actually ever even talked about it on the podcast. We used to live in Virgins for a little while.
Okay.
And which is, you know, it's up north. And
it's one of those times you blink and miss it while you're driving through it.
Yeah. I mean, you get plenty of those in there's plenty of those in Vermont. But we were like, hey, let's go out for a ride, you know, one of these rides. Let's go out for the ride. Well, we went on this dirt road and we just happened to see this place. We're like, what's this place? Oh, kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of like went out a little bit and we're like, oh, huh. This is rather sketchy. We kind of had a little bit of a deliverance type moment.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, your abandoned band house with a,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Old abandoned house with a big abandoned garage. And like nobody's been in this place for years. And we're just kind of like poking around. We go into the garage because the door's wide open. You walk through and somebody had to have been using it as like, because a lot of people up here are like Jack Deere in off season.
Yeah.
So we're walking through and I bumped into something and you look up and it's just like a deer skull and like the spine with like a, like the cape of the, like the pelt just hanging from the rafters. Is like, we need to get the hell out of here now.
Yeah. I think we had to, as they would say, almost a come to Jesus type moment where we were like
Charmin moment.
Yeah. We kind of, we locked and loaded, you know, we had pistols on us and we were like, instantly like,
that's a
round
huge
goes
difference.
In.
Yeah. Like when, you know, what I love about Vermont, besides having my first legal drink in the entire country up there at Green Mountain, dog park. Yeah. For those people that are environmentalists. Yeah. It was a dog park. It was a dog racetrack. But what I love about Vermont is that, and you know, people exercise their rights up there, and I'm all about that. I happen to live in a communist place called New York City.
He right said now. It, folks, not me.
No, I'm going to say it straight up. It's and the entire state's almost that way. That's why I'm moving out of this state to go to Florida. And the first thing I'm doing when I get that is I'll take the Ruger, give me the Bernelli. Is that an A1? Is that an A1? 15 in the chick. Yeah. Okay. Give me that. You know, yeah.
New York should almost be two separate states, you know, because you have upstate New York from like Albany north is completely different than it is the rest of the way down.
I'm going to say even further. I'm going to say like Glens Falls north because below that, I'm going to say basically like that's like still communist New York.
I've got a friend that moved up here during high school. He lived down like I think it was right off of Long Island, and he was always talking about upstate New York. And I'm like, where are you talking? He's like, oh, you know, like Albany that way. I'm like, no, dude, upstate's like Mariah, like where you can see like Canada. That's upstate New York.
Yeah, Whitehall is upstate. You know, when you. See, I being in New York, I've come to the realization I never want to go left of Albany. It's a totally different ball of wax, and I've been there way too many times. My next trip actually is I'm trying to get into Whitehall has the Bigfoot Festival.
Yes.
So I'm trying to get in a spot up there to speak, which would be great, as well as to you know just be up there. Maybe just take a weekend with one of my buddies that we do all this stuff, Al Santariga, for, you know, he's my brother and partner in crime in this. We've been dying to get up there because it's a huge hotspot for, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually have a couple of cases. There was a woman that lives pretty close to Whitehall that was having an issue with aliens on her property. And she actually sent us the footage, the video. And in the footage, if you're paying attention, you'll see a gray alien moving.
No shit. I'm sorry. But that's
damn.
You just like you kind of like, you know,
you hit a nerve with Kevin. You said aliens. And his ears perked up. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
You just went from like, you know,
0 to 1 million.
Yes. I like this dude.
After listening to your conversation with Justin, I told him, like, dude, I'm gonna say aliens and I'm gonna slide back from the microphone and just let you guys talk.
Well, it's really funny because I was just listening to that show you did with Justin. You were revealing what you saw on the road.
Yeah.
On that back road. And as soon as you described it, I said you had a dogman there.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's nothing else in my mind it could have been.
What was really kind of cool, but in like a sick way, is that when you went to your uncle's or whatever, or your whoever's house it was, God, it was aunt or uncle. Oh yeah, I saw him the other day in the backyard. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Are you that nonchalant about these things are nasty.
Yeah, they're just it was nothing.
Kind of leave you. Yeah, it's let me tell you something. When I've been Bigfoot, you know, research boots. I'm a boots on the ground guy. So we go out to these places and we go to the woods and we're hanging out there and, you know, no one's with us. And the fun part is none of us have firearms. So all we have is machetes. So when I go, I carry probably about 3 machetes on me. And at minimum. and a flare gun. And we always try to take somebody that can run not as fast as any one of us.
Right.
So just in case.
Whoops, you trip.
You don't have to outrun Bigfoot. You have to outrun your slow friend.
You just have to unrun the slowest guy in the field. But you know, like the fact is that you're talking about that this cryptid is insanely, I don't care what anybody says, it's dangerous.
Yeah,
there's an evil factor about this thing. And I never wanted to believe this. I was like, you know, I thought I heard everything with, you know, Bigfoot and, you know, Loch Ness, whatever. Then my buddy Al goes, dude, you got to hear about this dog man. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You know, like, you got to hear this stuff. So I started listening. He starts describing this, you know, 9 to 12 foot werewolf. And I'm like, okay, this is we've gone too far. and then you start listening and then you start getting in contact with people that do things for our country that don't really exist, because I know people like that.
I've heard a lot about people like that listening to Sasquatch Chronicles, where people that work for organizations that don't exist, and you know, they just kind of come out and.
Yep. I have a buddy, and I'm not going to mention his name, but if you saw the movie Black Hawk Down,
yeah,
in the opening scene they arrest a warlord.
Yes.
My buddy arrested him. That was. He's the one that did that.
Damn.
He's the kind of guy, like, if I can write, I'll write, and disappears. Then he comes back. So I, you know, I get information, but because I don't have a security clearance, everything is very confidential. And I know a lot of stuff that I shouldn't know, but they also know that I don't loose lips sink ships. I don't discuss it, and I'll go in a roundabout way. But when you start hearing about this creature and they're telling you that yes, it does, it's real, it does exist, there are certain individuals that go out and will eliminate them if they get into a certain zone, because some of them have gone over a line, an imaginary line in the sand, where they get too close to civilization or they maul people or they kill them, you know, and they have to be dealt with. Just like you would if you had a rabid dog or
right.
a moose or something like that, which is and they're telling you these things, and because they have more to lose than gain by letting you know. I mean, we're talking about 25 years plus in jail, hard labor, you know,
right? So, if not something worse,
exactly. And then you're like,
you want a free trip to a black site,
exactly. To 100, yeah, you want a free trip to Nome, Alaska. Because no one's gonna see you there.
No.
Now I gotta ask this question before we go further. Okay. So with you say with you know, with you saying some of this stuff, now I have to ask you, do you think that with like some of this stuff that's happening or whatever, do you think that there the werewolf phenomena was sparked by a misrepresentation, like seeing these dog men and thinking they were a, you know, a man that looked like a wolf?
No. Werewolves have been around the globe throughout history. My partner, Ron Murphy, you should probably get him on. He's like an encyclopedia of like paranormal.
What was his name?
Ronald Murphy. Yeah, they call him the crypto guru. He'll give you the actual, like it'll be like going into like, you know, a university level 101 werewolf class. Like,
oh, beautiful. Oh,
okay. And they breed out of France and they do, you know, I mean, no, he knows a lot of stuff, but werewolves have been seen in all of Europe, and throughout almost every part of every continent in on this globe. The Native Americans definitely have a lore about these creatures that are wolves, that they're these beasts, these beings, and they do refer to them as, some of them was referring to them as spirits and gods, and some of them are referring to them as just like the evil, like evil.
Yep.
But also you have to understand that in Native American or indigenous law lore, they talk about another Wendigos and skinwalkers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that in order to become a skinwalker is a medicine man or individual that chooses a really, really negative, bad, evil path.
They join the dark side.
Oh, it's more than just the dark side.
Yeah. Like,
it's like, you know, like murdering family members and then having intercourse with, it's beyond belief. But what they do believe is the reason why they do that is because they have abilities to at will transform into other beasts because of them going to that side. So they'll transform most of the time into a wolf. And these lores, you know, when they started making the werewolf movies, you know, this is all folklore and they put it in there and it's a guy transforming, like, you know, like American Werewolf in London. Great movie.
Best transformation scene ever.
Oh, I still to this day,
hands down.
Baker rocked. I mean, like, what a fantastic movie. I mean, I love that thing. But it's not like that. These are in from my research, they are flesh and blood creatures that have the ability to be interdimensional.
Huh.
So when they're here in our world, just like, and this is this, and I didn't want to believe this initially, but this is exactly what, you know, like I take everything into play and then I'll make my, you know, my thoughts or my hypothesis from that. You know, I'll listen to the scientific side to the, oh my God, this person is whacked out of their gourd side. Okay.
Yeah.
And until I have an experience, it's still as just a hypothesis, but I've actually had an experience with both these cryptids and things that they've done. No, nothing can do that right now as a human being on Earth or an animal. They've gone, you know, they've gone from point A to point B in a split second. There's, and with a massive distance between, you can't do that unless you can go open a portal and go in there so you can go interdimensionally. So I do believe that they're both flesh and blood when they're here, but they can travel interdimensionally. That's why they're very hard to find. You don't find, you know, their lair, their secret lair, you know, in the mountains. They are super fast and swift. And as like the wind, they come and they go.
Now, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
it was like with me, because I mean, you know, I guess being from Vermont, you know, what we do, you know, because we have the, you know, black bears, you know, New York has them too.
Yep.
But I kind of, you know, part of me almost kind of, I don't know, I believe sort of in that interdimensional, but I also say, well, if we can't find a black bear den all that often or see like a black bear's, you know, skeleton.
Yeah.
What, you know, I mean, why couldn't something like a Sasquatch or Bigfoot, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
You know,
why can't they be that way? Same thing.
The one that gets me thinking a lot is in the few encounters where somebody like say, as being, you know, charged by a Sasquatch and they shoot it. And then other ones will come out of the woods and carry them off.
Yeah.
So it almost makes you wonder if they have somewhere where they bury them, where you don't find it.
Well,
which would make a lot of sense.
So it's kind of like, you know how elephants have a graveyard, but no one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they have a certain place they go. In our research, we have a place that we have a couple different spots that we go to, you know, on a religious factor, you know, that we have interactions with these creatures. Some of them are gifting sites, but there's one site we call the sacred site, and it has the feeling of a large burial site. Massive amounts of rock. And there, you know, no one's going into the middle of the woods saying, hey, there's a pile of rocks here, let's dig it up. You're just hiking through the woods. So
right. We
don't know. There very well could be bones there. And another thing that's really crazy about this is when you're in the woods and you have a bipedal cryptid, talking about Bigfoot or Dogman, these things are the predator, the A class A predator.
Yeah.
And when they move through an area and the forest goes dead quiet, no one's going in there and saying, hey, when they leave, I'm going to go steal their body there. They know not to go there.
And that's something that a lot of people don't realize. It's like, as soon as you go out hiking and you get deep into the woods, you're no longer top of the food chain.
Oh, no.
There's other stuff out there. Like, aside from either, you know, potentially Bigfoot or Dogman, right? It's like there's bears, there's mountain lions, you got coyotes that will. You know, they're monsters in their own right, but
yep. Coy wolf, you
know. I mean,
coy wolves are pretty big too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have.
Yeah. Well, we have a bear too in New York State. We probably got them from Vermont.
Yeah.
We took the ferry off over Lake Champlain and like, hey, see you tomorrow, Chuck. I'm going to go back.
Listen, they don't cross the border. Come on now. You know, that doesn't happen. They can't do that.
That's why we don't have mountain lions here. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. No, just don't say no more.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have, timber wolves up in the Northeast Kingdom. Yeah. No. No. They don't do that.
Because they can't cross over from Canada without paperwork.
Exactly. You
know, and exactly. It's those damn Canadians. They're screwing us.
These illegal aliens coming in from Canada.
Well, I mean, they're eating all of our ducks. All about?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, they're French. For the French, they're the French version, so you know it's automatic. Like you know, okay, disdain.
Yeah,
you
know? Yes. At least for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's very interesting how some of this wildlife. I mean, people will be surprised, even in the lower area. Like I'm in the city, but we're near Westchester County, which is near Putnam County, which is in Dutchess County. County. I think once you get to Putnam, Dutchess. You're getting into like, you know, real American territory. These people work there, you know, there's some money there too, but they believe in their rights and the, you know, freedom and firearms. God bless, you know, America. F yeah. You know, I play that every once in a while. And my wife's like, can you please learn with that? The kids are, you know. Sorry, honey, Team America. I can't stop.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, but you know, you go in the woods and I mean, you know, bears will do bluff charges on you too. And we've had an experience in New York State. We're doing a day night investigation. It happened to be during Halloween.
Oh, perfect.
It's like, hey, you know, like let's do a day night investigation in Halloween. I think there was a meteor shower and
that could have made it worse is a full moon.
I think there was actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm almost positive there was. And so it was myself, my buddy Al, and we had a friend of ours who had a YouTube show, and he wanted to go and visit it, you know, like YouTube and blog from there. And the fun thing is this lake borders the Appalachian Trail. So you kind of can be there, but because it's like a federal land park type of thing, you're not supposed to be in there after dark. So you have to park. We had to park like a half a mile away, our cars, hoof it in when it was daylight. And then to get there, you know, the half a mile, then we had to walk, you know, travel a mile to get to this point where this lake starts. And our investigation started at the other end of the lake, which is 2 miles in. Right.
Yeah. That's a haul.
Yeah. It was pretty much a nice haul. we get up there and there's nothing there. We can't start fires because if we get caught, we're going to get arrested. You know, well, we can say we're on the Appalachian Trail, but you know, it's going to be a problem. So we're there. Yeah. It's pitch black. Now, the way we went to this point, we went to the left because there was a pathway to go there. If you went to the right, you walk for a little bit and then it becomes a goat trail. Like, you'll kill yourself getting through this. There's no way, right? So we're sitting there, and if you're looking at us sitting, you know, I'm doing the investigation. I got my buddy Al in the middle. I am to the right about 10 feet away from him. And then to the left of him, 10 feet away, is Bill. And we started doing some investigation. We got some strange tones and sounds, and we were hearing rock knocks, you know, two rocks clicking together. Then we heard some tree knocks. And then the pressure started building as it got darker. And what was interesting was there was no sounds from any of the wildlife there.
Yeah, that's always concerning.
Well, it's very noted, right?
Yeah.
And it's super noted. So we're there, and it's getting, you know, more intense. As if you ever, I don't know if your listeners have ever experienced it, but sometimes, depending where you're in the country, when it's going to rain, you can kind of feel the pressure, and then you kind of can like feel that, you know, there's an intensity there. Well, take that and multiply it times 100. We just were uneasy, and we were hearing these noises, and it was getting dark, and there's no light. We're just sitting there, and we start hearing something really big, bipedally, walking on the leaf litter. So my buddy Al has the the parabolic mic, and he's, you know, he's listening. He's like, something's walking. I'm like, yeah, we heard it, and we thought maybe, you know, a bear or something like that. So yeah, we have our bear spray for that too. And yeah, we hear a tree knock on the other side of the river. That's the lake. Sorry, that's next to us. So we're about 20 yards from the lake. We can see it. And on the other side, we hear what sounds like a tree knock. So we're like, okay, this is getting interesting because, you know, there's been reports of high strains this year. And we hear something walking, getting closer. And the next thing you know, there's a moment where there's like a bluff charge behind this guy, Bill. And he gets up and he runs. He's ready to run out, you know, like with fear in his eyes. We, you know, my buddy Al grabbed him. No, stay your ground. I went to his right because, frankly, there's no place for me to go. I can't get to, you know, I'm not going to make it through the goat trail in the pitch black. And, you know, it's just impossible. I'm not going in this water. So we formed a triangle. And then nothing came out. We looked. We shined the lights on this area. Nothing was there. It was still very intense. You can feel the pressure. So we kind of checked it out. We went up to the area, you know, putting on like a 6 million candlewatt, you know, light on it. Mm-hmm. We have infrared cameras. We have FLIR cameras. We have full spectrum cameras and some other, like, you know, night vision, but not like, you know, like Govy stuff. It's the lower end because, you know, we're working people.
Yeah, we don't get all the fun stuff.
We don't have a TV show that's going to put, you know, put the money into it. You know, we see nothing. And nothing came forward. So after a few minutes and we were investigating, we didn't see anything. We didn't hear anything move. We settled down. And the next thing you know, we hear the tree knock again and across the river. And you hear like as if it was no more than 15 feet away from us. Whoop, whoop. And then the next whoop is at the other end of the lake. Whoop. And it reverberates off your chest. And we're like, holy crap, what is that? And damn, the only thing that does that in my book and from my experience is Sasquatch. And there are reports of Sasquatch in the area. So, you know, we go looking for this thing because where it sounded like it was coming from was behind where we were sitting. So we go up there and we're looking and we run up this little hill. We look, lights everywhere. We see nothing. So we stood our ground. We stayed there. We went, settled back down. It was a little intense. And I had a kind of an idea in my head why there was three whoops. And because we settled down and we covered our ground there, you know, we didn't move, we didn't budge. The next thing you hear is something big going through the trees above behind me. And this big boulder, I would say probably 300-400 pound rock, big, lands behind me. You hear, you feel the thud. It rolls, you know, you feel it rolling. It hits the back of my, you know, travel chair, throws my ass out. And once that was done, the pressure that was in the area was gone.
Wow.
As if, you know, you were sitting down and an elephant got off your chest.
Yeah. Oof. Now,
yeah,
I got a question.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I've heard like a bear whoop.
It's more of a hoot, though.
Is there a difference between the two? Like, can you tell the difference between them?
Uh-huh. Look, Sasquatch are known excellent mimics. They mimic everything.
Uh-huh.
They mimic any type of birds in the forest, frogs, crickets. They will mimic babies. They will mimic women. They can mimic your own voice.
That's some Wendigo stuff right there, too.
Yeah, well, Wendigo is a totally different ballgame, but we can get into that, too. but this was this. I've been around where a bear has, you know, cried out and made some whooping sounds. And there is a little bit of a gusto to it.
Okay.
But nothing reverberating your chest, like as if you were standing next to the speakers at a Metallica concert.
Okay.
This thing, literally, my body shook. It was super powerful.
That's a pretty powerful set of lungs to be able to do anything like that. I mean, that's a big animal.
Yeah.
And it's funny. When that happened, there were some dogs in the distance. And once the whoops happened, those things shut the hell up. Silent again.
Huh.
And what was interesting is as we were going through it, we were discussing, what do you think? What do you think? And I said, I think that was a scout. And I explained it, you know, they heard the rock knocks. We heard the tree knocks across the river. The lake that's there. It's not a river. And that kept doing that until he went whoop, whoop, whoop. And I said, they did three whoops because there's three of us.
One for each of you.
Right. And it was doing a scout and it said, there's three of them. Don't come forward. Take the long way home, you know? So,
yeah.
And that's what it was, in my opinion. And I think I was proven correct. We eventually did go back to that location during the day a couple months later. And behind us, where these whoops were coming from, you know, that area, we did find a den in the middle of a swamp area there. And we do have pictures. We think it's what they call a dogman type 3, which is a combination of like a Bigfoot and a werewolf.
Are those the ones that are like almost more like baboon, not baboon,
yeah.
Hyena looking kind of?
No, this is more like think not really baboon, but more monkeyish with a little, you know. And I think personally that some of them be the Bigfoot and the Dogman. If you have Bigfoot, you're going to have Dogman. If you have Dogman, you're going to have Bigfoot.
Well, I'm like the skeptic, you know, of us, but I'm also inquisitive where I don't, and I've heard this stuff, but I don't really know, like, per se, why would you have both? I mean, even though, because I've heard, like, you know, some of the Dogman versions are, like, even more aggressive. Yeah. It seems like that not all Sasquatch are, you know, super aggressive. They kind of, like, just want to be left the fuck alone, bluntly.
I think both cryptids are clan-based, you know, family-based, or, you know.
Yeah.
Dogmen are usually in a pack, technically. We'll call it a pack. You know, is very similar to characteristics. They work together. And Sasquatch actually is more clan or family oriented.
That makes sense. Because you'd have like the, you know, dogs again, you know, like you just said, travel in packs, and then you have Bigfoot, which would be more
three to four,
like ape-like, where yeah. they would work in like a troop kind of, you know, that would make sense to me.
You have wolves, and wolves usually have 150-mile radius for hunting, right?
Yep. Okay.
So you have these creatures, these I call them cryptids, you know, Bigfoot and dogmen. They also have a radius for hunting, and I'm sure it's like five times that size. Okay. They both work in like packs or clans. Bigfoot is very family oriented, and you know, they it's a natural progression. Male will meet female. They'll you know, get together. They have offspring, and after a certain amount of years, you know, of teaching them how to survive in the bush, you know,
yeah,
they're like, you're here, we're gonna go down to this end of it. So they give them a moment to be in a certain area, and then they meet another, you know, clan, and that's how the species continues to do what they do.
Right.
Same thing with dogmen. What the reason why I say that if you have one, you have the other, because 99% of the time, when we have cases being reported, we have people that are seeing both of them, and they're usually separated by some kind of natural land divide, be it a river, or something that's like, you stay on your side, we'll stay on our side. And each one of them creates different types of symbols in the woods. You know, there'll be X's, there'll be tree bends for Bigfoot. You know, there'll be arrows on the ground. They like to stick pieces of a tree in the ground and create these little messages that it looks like the forest to you, but it's actually signals like there's a road here. This is a proper path. You know, like don't go this way. Whereas dogman likes to pull trees out of the ground, turn them upside down, and make a more aggressive approach, saying you're in dogman country now. And a couple of times they will encroach. Bigfoot's not necessarily going to encroach on the dogman as much as dogman's going to mess with Sasquatch.
See, like with us, it's so weird because, like, with us being, you know, Green Mountains, and we're so close to that, it's almost like I feel with us, we're like a melting pot of both of them, because I mean, I've heard reports of, you know, of Squatch up, you know, in the area or whatever, but then like Kevin has, you know, this dog man or, you know, experience, and others have it too. I mean, hell, we just did an episode a couple weeks ago on the Bermuda Triangle, and
Bennington Triangle.
Bennington Triangle. Sorry, Bennington Triangle.
Not and, quite as warm.
Yes, and actually, two of the cases that we did that I actually had talked about on the episode.
Right.
I feel that they were. I don't know if it was. Because, you know, just thinking about this, I don't know if it was Squatch or if it was Dogman now. Because, like, you got these two guys that were just, I mean, beating the living crap out of, you know, and not like one guy had one single shot fired and the other guy didn't have anything.
Right.
You know, and then this other girl, they actually had searched a complete area and never found her body, but then came back to the same exact area.
Like a day later.
Or like a week or two later or whatever it was, and actually found her body at the same spot.
Well,
so
it's Bigfoot can be just as aggressive as a dogman.
Absolutely.
Especially when they're going through like a rut, like, you know, when you get like a teenage Bigfoot that has all its hormones going, and they smell a pretty girl. They have been reported to have taken some people in the past. But throughout your state, I mean, there's a couple of groups that try to keep maps of these things. But in 2015, there was a lot more dogman sightings in your state. There was about three of them. And I believe they're the same dogman. It started off in let me see where it was, near Mount Tabor is one of them. Then it was up near Killington.
Yeah.
And then the other one was northern portion of the state, over by like
Montpelier?
Craftsbury.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Barton, which I mean, by trail, because it's funny where you're saying these.
Right.
Is Appalachian as long trail.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the long trail.
And that's my, you know, where we have a lot of experience with these creatures in the East Coast. It's all Appalachian Trail. They do follow the same trail. And what's interesting is they're pretty good at avoiding general, you know, larger populated areas. So they'll figure that out, or they'll travel at hours where they're not necessarily going to be seen. You know, once you get out of big cities, even if you travel at like, you know, 3 a.m, 2 a.m, the only people that are out there are maybe, you know, long haulers and maybe the errant, you know, state trooper who's probably catching some of his Z's at that point, you know?
For sure.
But they do follow these trails, and they also follow game. So wherever you have a lot of deer, you're going to see these things.
Yeah.
The fact that the body was missing and that it was retrieved, very interesting. That goes along with that David Pilates, you know, missing 411 type of stuff.
Yeah.
Where people like you guys can go out for a hike together and you're walking up the mountain and the next thing you know, like one of you is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insanity. I think what happens is these creatures, like I said, they go interdimensionally. So they're able to open a portal and close a portal. And some of them are not very nice. And I'm sure they have plenty of taste for human flesh. And they're walking, portal opens up, you grab somebody, pull them in, they disappear. You can't hear them.
Yeah.
They're not there. And then they find them someplace else in weird, like setting type of things. Like they'll search the same area 9 times, and then a week later it'll be found in that area they've all searched 9 times.
Yeah.
It gets these are mysterious creatures for a reason, and they're not being found because they know the woods better than anybody else, and they have certain abilities that will protect them from detection. And, you know, that's another reason why when you going back to the dead animals, right? I'm sure that a lot, if you go in some caves that or underground systems, which run through your state too, you'll find a lot more bones than you would expect of bear and other animals, right?
Yeah.
You know, they go into certain areas. So we've been in a couple of good areas that have lots of a cave system in it. And, you know, we don't have any equipment to go into caves at this point because it could get really dicey really fast.
Yeah.
You know, but we do believe that they use, you know, cave systems underground aquifers and other areas to traverse, you know, mass amounts of land or disappear when they need to. It's just a crazy, you know, creature. And I'm really not a fan of the dogman at all. I mean, we get cases and it's not something I really like to go out and investigate. You got these people, you probably heard 1,000 different podcasts, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they're all, everybody's like, man, I shot at it. I'm like, well, that's stupid. You know?
Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, it's like last line of defense, probably not a great idea.
Well, you know, the problem really is that I'll give you an example. I don't go hunting. Not that I'm opposed to it. I just never had, you know, no one took me hunting. I wish someone did. But I know from people that hunted and they hunt moose. And they said, you got to hit it at a certain angle. And I'm like, why? So it's because the chest of a moose is so thick, that leather, that skin is so thick that you could throw, you could put a ton of bullets into it. It's not going to do anything. It's going to get lodged in the skin.
Yep.
Going to piss it off. And that's what people think. You know, people think normally like center mass or whatever. But when you're talking about a creature like a dogman, for example, let's say you were up against one. Well, I have found that if you have one in front of you, you could bet your ass there's going to be another one creeping up behind you. They usually work in pairs.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Yep.
They're like velociraptors.
No, I just that just freaks me out thinking like I saw that one directly in front of me.
No, that was a different.
Where was the other one?
What you saw, you know? Was you saw one that was hungry and was eaten. Whether it was roadkill or something, there was, I guarantee you that there was something on that road it was eating. It wasn't just sitting there sunbathing. So
what's funny is
get some food.
A couple of days after that, my wife went that same way to go to work, and there's a house right. It was, I think it was actually the land that right where I saw it. They had chickens, and she went through there the other one day. A couple of days after that, and it looked like somebody had gone through there with a lawnmower and just blown chicken feathers and bits all over the road.
That was,
so it's like, okay,
yep.
Yeah. And I mean, the first time for, I,
yeah. They're going to go for easy.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. The first time I ever told that story, I called into Monsters Among Us, which is another podcast that's Derek Hayes does. Fantastic show.
Cool.
And then he actually had me come back on a bit later and do something for his Patreon where he'd gotten a lot of feedback about it. And one of the things was someone emailed him and said they know exactly where my encounter happened and they know exactly what I saw because someone that lives just up the road from there has a greyhound. I was like, well, I've been around dogs my entire life and I can tell you it was not a goddamn greyhound. Greyhounds are not that big. Like, no.
No. First of all, I have a guy that has greyhounds over by me. Okay. He rescues them, you know, mm-hmm. And, yeah, what I saw was 100% not a gray. It was a werewolf, and it is a massive. It's a massive amount of creature. You described everything perfectly to a T, and I've seen. Trust me, the way you were reacting, like I'm getting chills, you know, like that, you know. I've seen that. I've experienced that myself. I'm like, yeah, this is creepy, dude. We got to get out of here. You know, we have sixth sense for a reason, and there's certain investigations we've had where we got to go. I know exactly what you're, that was not a, it wasn't a greyhound, and it sure as hell wasn't an Irish wolfhound.
No.
Yeah. You know, you described it to a T because I know dogs. My family used to be involved in dog shows. My cousin's the head of the American Kennel Club.
Oh, wow.
I grew up in this crap. I hate dog shows.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, they were the worst thing. So I know what dogs look like. I know, I mean, I've seen a Lindenberger.
Oh yeah, they're huge.
6 months old. It was 6 feet sitting on its ass, it was 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And it was a puppy. Okay. I mean, you need a car, you need another car to bring the dog to the vet.
Yeah.
You know, so this makes the Lindenberger look like a real puppy, like a small puppy.
Yeah.
So when you say like, you know, like sixth sense, goosebumps, I gotta say, Kevin and I have both had this, I think we may have shared it on the podcast.
Right.
But two times in a row, we've had this where we were just walking out on this road, and I don't know if it was something else or what it was, but we just got to like this certain point, and I was like instantly, like, dude, I'm sick.
It went dead silent in the woods.
And I'm like, it's just cold as hell. I don't feel good. You know, this is really weird.
Well, that's your body telling you. You need to turn around and go now.
And that, it was only for about maybe 60 yards, and then it went back to normal. It was like we walked into a bubble and then walked back out of it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. You talked about the Bennington Triangle. There's another area in Vermont. I forgot where it was. But there are certain areas throughout the U.S. and throughout the world that have vortexes there.
Yep.
And the Bennington Triangle actually is one of them. There's a magnetic anomaly there, and it could very well be a vortex, right? So you also have a lot of history in your land, even though, you know, people don't see it modernized. A lot of stuff has taken place in certain spots. So you can be getting residual energy, but also you have to understand that I think that some of these creatures use infrasound.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they will use that to tell you get out now without saying a word to you. They'll make you uncomfortable and nauseous.
Part of me was thinking, like, you know, your other little hobby, you know, your that you have, where you go out and do a little ghost hunting and such. Because of the area of where both of these happen,
right?
The one that the first time that we had it happen, the area that we were in was actually an old township in that area. Both actually places were townships at
ghost
one
town?
Time.
A ghost town?
Not really a ghost. Like, there's nothing left of the town that was there.
But there was something there at one point.
Yeah. There's things there. So that kind of leads to that, like, well, okay, was it, you know, I mean, one of them, I don't know. We saw some weird stuff. Like the one that, well, the first encounter, I would almost lean towards more like the paranormal.
Right.
The second one, I'm not really sure, because we saw, like, we had to stop because we got to a certain point. We're like, yeah, we don't feel comfortable.
Which one was that?
The one out on in Chittenden.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw like broken limbs and. There was,
and like, I got cold chills when you said it. There was a small tree that had been pulled up and stuck back in the ground upside down.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, I think it's time to turn around now.
And
that when you see a tree where the roots are on the top, you know, like they pulled it out of the ground and turned it upside down, that's a dogman sign.
Something
you're in dogman territory, and you know, you could have been warned off. I'm not saying they're always evil and they're always out there like, hey, let's go kill this one, you know?
And what's funny is where we saw that upside down tree was not even, not even a mile and a half from where I had my encounter in the road.
You're in dogman country right there. Yep.
But we also had, you know, like the rock structures and stuff, we actually, like, you know, some people are around here.
Yep.
They're just, you know, they're foolish, and they'll, like, they'll actually put them in rivers. They'll actually make a rock structure.
Yeah. This Karens. One. Yep.
Yeah. We actually, there was one, because, you know, we're like a little skeptical. Okay. Well, maybe, you know, we had seen one beside the road. Somebody walked up, they made one. Okay. Fine. Well, we actually had one off the road that we were like, whoa. And we went and actually looked at. We're like, okay, this is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know,
they both cryptids will make those. And they're usually made by the younger versions, the young. You got to understand, they're not going back and going, you know, dad, after we killed that deer, can we go play Xbox? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that ain't happening. So you do have a young that are curious. And so they have nothing to do, so they'll do things. They'll make rock formations called Karens. That's what they're known for. In Inuit, they're called Inukshuk. And the Inuit actually, because they know about these creatures, they'll make these big rock formations that look like a human figure with its arms out, really big. And that's a warning to say, you stay out of here. This is our area. So, but that's the Inukshuk. But where you are, you know, because it's so close to where you had your encounter, Kevin, I would say you're in dogman country. And one, never go by yourself. at no. all. And two, that sense that you're getting, I'm going to say it was Dogman related. It was more of like an infrasound. We've had reports of people, I have yet to experience this myself, where people will look, and when you, let me ask you, actually, before I say this, Kevin, when you saw its eyes on the creature in the road, you said they were amber, right?
Yeah.
Okay. After that experience, do you remember what your dreams were like the next couple of nights?
Well, the night that I saw it, I didn't sleep, so there was none there. And then the next, it's going to sound really weird. The next couple nights were, I was having dreams about seeing it and then seeing it outside of my house.
Okay. How close is your house to where that was?
So where we were living at the time, it was, I don't know, maybe two and a half miles from there.
Okay. So now I wasn't there for the investigation and I can't prove it. I'm just going based off of research that I've done. One, Dogman, a lot of people have reported when they have an encounter with Dogman, especially with the amber eyes, it's that they feel as if it was like peering into their soul. Like they can hear it thinking and talking and saying, get out, go away, you know, whatever. And they have dreams about this creature for days after. And the fact that you dreamed that it was outside your house, I'm going to tell you right now, it was outside your house.
Ah, damn it. And we did have some other strange stuff. Cause like that was, we were out in the middle of the woods.
Right.
And we would have nights where, you know, cause obviously we had crap load of coyotes that would kind of circle, and you could almost like put it on a calendar. They'd be there like for a week. And then about 2 weeks later, you'd start to hear them cycling back around. And then we had one night where I was taking trash out and my wife was walking back across the driveway and you'd hear the coyotes kind of yipping like out across the road. And then you just got this really low, like a, and they stopped and they were gone for like 2.5 months.
Yeah. That's because the Dogman was there.
God damn it. Don't tell me this stuff.
I'm just telling you from just, I mean, I can't prove it. And I'm not doing this for dramatic effect for anybody that's listening. I'm just saying that the coyotes were being told by the Dogman.
Shit!
Out, you know,
well, I mean, I don't know what the curse. If it's going to kill coyotes, is, but I'm cool with that. Like, you know,
they are very aggressive. I think the fact that a lot of people, even the earthy, crunchy idiots from New York that go up there, you know, like free love, like oh, we're going to make maple syrup and yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Everybody seems to be armed.
Yeah.
And it's just a confrontation waiting to happen. But they also know that, like I said before, there are groups that when certain attacks do take place, they know there's going to be a response. And it ain't going to be good for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
The night that I saw it, I had a 40 caliber Glock in my passenger seat. And I was like, if I were to get out with this thing, like it would laugh at me, you know. It wouldn't have done a damn thing about it.
The minute you opened your door, it would have been on you.
I'd have been done
in a second. You have no idea. This thing can take a 60-foot leap in a second. It's super fast. It's really incredible. And here's the difference between Dogman and Bigfoot. Bigfoot, you're right. They want to be left alone. Leave us the fuck alone. Stay the hell out. Right. And there have been conflicts with Bigfoot and Dogman fighting each other.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I'll tell you one right now.